straight now into the first round, which is the singing sprint. In this round, a member of one team sings a song as fast as he can, and then a member of the opposing team must try and beat his time. And I shall be timing them with a stopwatch here, and I'm going to be extremely strict with the musical rendition, the intonation, and so on. Right, we're going to start now with Graham Garden and Tim Brooke Taylor. Tim, will you start, please, singing those magnificent men in their flying machine?
Go on, Tim. Go on, Tim. Those magnificent men in the flying machines, they go up, diddly up, and they go down, diddly down. They enchant all the ladies and steal the scenes with their diddly up and their down, diddly down, up, down, turning around, losing the loop and flying the crowd. They're all frightfully keen, those magnificent men in their flying machines.
Tim Brooke Taylor with a fantastic 11 and a half seconds. Graham Garden, can you even beat that?
Personal best.
Those magnificent men in the flying machines, they go up, till up, up, they go down, till yon, down, they enchant all the ladies and steal the scenes, they're up, till up, up, and they're down, till yon, down, up, down, flying around, looping, looping, defying the ground, they're all frightfully keen, those magnificent men in the flying machines.
Ten and a half, beaten by 1 second, Tim, so that gives you 3 marks. And we come over now to Barry and Bill, and we'll start with Bill Oddie. Mm-hmm. And your song, the two of you, is the hippopotamus song.
Which hippopotamus song? Oh, this hippopotamus song. Up old hippopotamus song. He gets the bottomless people, the light of the evening star, and we are the helpers to come and the house fair, up on the main, the help of bottomless known, the realms as angry sweet as made, my and my glory. Like the coolie.
Has he done it?
Nice one.
14 yes. and a half seconds. So that's your target, Barry Cryer.
Mad, glorious mad, nothing's mad, but glorious mad. To follow me, follow, down to the hole, and then listen, follow, glorious mad. All together, mad, mad, but glorious mad.
That puts Graham and Barry slightly ahead as we go on to the point in the programme where I tell you that we have come to the round called Garble, and in this round I'm going to give each team a situation to improvise, but the improvisation must be in Garble with no recognisable words. And I'm going to hand over to the audience to judge this one. I shall award marks at the end, according to the length and volume of your applause. And don't forget that if you recognise any recognisable words, I shall be very surprised. I'm going to start with Graham and Barry. And your situation is this. A Welsh nanny being invited to a German police ball.
Ich finde doch Schinder, doch Hüder, doch Hüder, doch Hüder, doch Hüder, doch Hüder, Flüder, ich schön, doch Hüder.
Oh, Papa, ich hab dich mal an. Oh, klemmt es hier, komm mal doch.
Da könnte es sein, der Hüder. Oh, der wird es schon. Papa, Papa.
Papa, Papa. Ah, kennst du? Ah, ja, oder, boi,
I think Barry did very well. Barry did very well to avoid any German words, but there were one or two Welsh words in Graham's there. So,
one or two German words.
Anyway, I've taken note of your applause now. Tim and Bill, your turn. And your situation is a young Liverpudlian offering a lick of his ice cream to a neighbour at an Italian football match.
What's
I Just let me check that applause. Because there's very little in it. And while we're checking the applause, we go on to the next round called tag wrestling. In this round, I'm going to give each team the payoff of a story. Then members of each team will have to devise a story to fit their particular punchline. I shall then start one of you off working towards your punchline, and then I shall press the buzzer, and a member from the opposing team will have to take over the story, but work towards his punchline. I'm going to give you, Tim and Bill, your punchline. Ready?
Yep.
And Gerald has kept penguins ever since the mayor was beheaded. Okay, Graham and Barry, yep. Ready for yours? What do you mean, fruitcake? Said Cicely. A short back and sides is what the young master always has. That's Tim and Bill have had a longer time to think of the opening of their story. We'll start with them, and we'll start with you, Tim Brooke Taylor.
Once upon a time, there's a man called Gerald, the well-known penguin keeper. Gerald found that the best way to keep penguins in Attercliffe was to get the permission of the local council.
His passion for penguins was only surpassed by his passion for fruitcake, which he always used to eat outside the penguin's cage. This was a family thing, hereditary in a way, because his sister Cicely also loved fruitcake. And in between preening and combing and generally looking after the penguins, they used to eat fruitcake. Now,
this is not absolutely relevant to the main story, which does, of course, concern Gerald and his friend, the mayor. This story takes place in the time of the Spanish Inquisition, when it was a habit to, not that Spanish Inquisition, not advertising, oh no, when it was a habit to behead criminals and traitors against the state, and it was in fact proved that the mayor had in fact done some very naughty things in his time, and so he was brought up before the court. The judge of the court at the time was one Gerald, not one Gerald, it was...
Was one Gerald, not in fact the Gerald of the story, but another Gerald who'd been called in as a replacement. The time of the Spanish Inquisition was also known for the terrible plague which hit Antarctica and killed off all the penguins. The good people of the town cheered themselves up by eating fruitcake, and Sicily,
a young girl in her teens, sadly died in her early... I mention Cicely because her best friend, Gerald, and boyfriend, used to keep penguins in Spain at the time of the Spanish Inquisition. Now, there is an old custom there that every Friday morning, people come into court and have to justify... This will interest you, Humphrey.
Cicely had in fact died, and everybody had been so besotted and loved her so much that they all hired a medium and went to a seance, hoping they could speak to Cicely again.
And there, the lady who was holding the seance said, "Cicely, appear to us." And she's a pretty rotten medium, and instead appeared the mayor.
Who said, "Hello, fruitcake."
Which, as we know, is the African name for a penguin. However, Gerald was not to know this. And he said to the mayor, he said, "Look, if I can prove..." This is the bit I was telling you about earlier, Hump, that you weren't interested in, so I'll make it a bit
different.
Don't
live in the past.
Every Friday, people of the town had to come in and justify why they kept these birds, ducks, ostriches, emus, things like that. Now, one day, Gerald came in, and the mayor was in trouble. I'll tell you why he was in trouble some other day.
So they were, in fact, all sitting at the seance, and the mayor, as Tim quite rightly said, did appear. But the strangest things happen in spiritualist circles. The mayor was dressed as Cicely. Good heavens, everybody cried.
Good heavens, they cried. This is a pretty rotten seance. Let's have another go. And so they had another go. And amazingly enough, they conjured up the mayor, the actual mayor, who was, of course, beheaded.
Call me fruitcake, said the mayor. I hear a voice. I think it's Cicely. Nobody else heard anything, except somebody who thought that it was something to do with Cicely talking about a barber's shop.
But they were wrong. It was, in fact, Gerald talking to the mayor, and because the mayor was so nice to him, even though he had been beheaded, Gerald has kept penguins ever since the mayor was beheaded.
Ah!
Yes, Tim and Bill get the 2 points there. And we come on to the round, which is called Blues. This round is the one in which I'm going to ask the members of each team to improvise a blues, taking alternate lines and accompanied, of course, by Dave Lee at the piano. Now, Tim and Bill, will you give Barry and Graham their topic for their blues?
The topless blues.
Topless blues.
Topless.
Topless blues. Sing me about the topless blues.
When you're ready, Barry.
I'll get a job tomorrow, Mom.
Anytime. Drop a line.
Woke up this morning. Yeah, man. And I was thrilled to bits.
You're getting finished before they stop laughing. They need never hear the rest.
Oh, I'm very sorry about that, baby.
Very good follow-up to that.
Cause I heard about this fantastic new attraction they've just hired down at the bar in the Ritz. They've got a topless barmaid. Shake her martini.
Yeah!
And it fits!
Now, we helped you. Gave you a nice, easy subject.
Thank you. Thank
what
you
do we get back?
Very easy one, this.
Yes?
Graham,
for Tim and Bill, it's the hair transplant blues.
And that's the last time we helped you. Right. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I got this one on an old folkways record. I remember this.
Just got to feel a bit of it.
Yeah, man.
You know, man.
Oh, this is going to surprise you, pal. Well, I woke up this morning. Found my head was all bare.
The dog had fallen in love with my toupee.
Don't blame him, pal.
Attractive toupee, but I don't care.
A rabbit on my head.
You want to know why?
Yeah.
I bet you already do. Because at a distance it will look like a little hair.
Oh, yeah.
Graham and Barry get top marks for filth and Tim and Bill, on the other hand, the element of surprise was slightly greater.
Yeah.
Graham and Barry, 16, and Tim and Bill, 15. And now we have the round of sound charades. One team has to guess the title of a book, play, or whatnot from the noises made by the members of the opposing team. And the audience can help here, but they never do, but they can, by applauding when the teams are getting warmer and by hissing when the teams are getting whatever the opposite is. Right, Tim and Bill, is this a play or a film or what?
We've heard it's a play.
Play. And while the audience here is being shown the title on a board, the mystery voice will be telling you, listening at home, what their title is.
And it's The Mousetrap. The Mousetrap.
Right, how many sections?
Well, there are 2 words, and the first word begins with T, ends in E, and has an H in the middle. The second word we're going to do in 2 halves, Mm-hmm. Two halves. Mm-hmm. First half first. Shall we do that?
Yes, you do the first.
Yeah. That's the first half. Second half coming up now.
Ow!
Graham and Barry.
The China slap.
No.
Warmish.
Tokyo chop. No.
The Japanese hit.
Hit. Probably has been a hit in Japan, yes. Yeah. Been a hit everywhere else.
So I was going to say, the well-known Japanese hit.
I'd stick to your Chinese.
Chinese. Pekin. Tom.
Well-known character in...
Give him a bit more, give him a bit more.
Character in what?
In China, as you were mentioning. Well, very, very well-known character nowadays in China.
Give him a bit of
Mao.
Bob Hope.
The Mao strap. Terrific. The
brilliant.
Mao slap.
I don't know how you do it. And Graham and Barry, it's your turn to do one.
Audience
is being shown here. Meanwhile, Mr. Voice, please tell the people at home.
It's W.C. Fields.
You got it?
Dirty one.
It's yeah. Good. Yeah.
Must be.
Right.
Always is.
A film, a play, a book?
A famous film star.
Famous film star, right.
Hello there, very old beauty. I see you modernizing your farm there. India.
Oh, yes.
Yuma. Tell me why. Why is Yuma putting a lavatory in the corner of every one of your meadows?
The silly voice is just for a cheap laugh.
Yeah.
Are they part of it? Are they a clue of some sort?
No, not really.
Archangel Gabriel or something. Like you come into it.
Clint Walker.
Close.
Warm.
So that I can...
Meadows.
Meadow Lou.
Lou Meadow.
Blue Fields.
WC. Right, at the end of that round, Graham and Barry have 21, Tim and Bill have 24.
Yep.
And we go on to the ad-lib turret. Members of each team are going to make up a poem. Each team member must keep going until I press the buzzer, and then a member of the opposing team must take over. This goes on until we reach a fairly obvious conclusion. We'll start with Graham Garden now. Yours is a Welsh poem. Mark well the omen, gentle sire, the ravens on the wing.
Mark well the omen, gentle sire, the ravens on the wing. And listen to this little song that now to thee I sing. And you may notice, as I speak, my accent has changed back.
Back.
And back I say to you, my friend, I'll sing this song, alack.
I smite my toast, man, nechlem do, and jab at hoosn and dee, and barsen doch and dach and da, and boffen.
I'm in a funny mood today. I often talk like that, you know. When my speech becomes slurred, I talk what I imagine is Welsh and no one understands a word. My father was a bard, you know, a druid, yes, as well. And up and down the valleys we went. My God, oh, sorry.
My God, oh, blimey, oh, well. My father was a bard, I said, and yes, that is quite true. And here's another funny thing that I will tell to you. Well, funny, that's what I say it is, but then others say it ain't. But then again, you...
You cannot tell. The truth is, I drink paint. When I come home after a day's work, I sit down feeling knackered. And there is nothing I like more than
a nice tin of lacquered. I've changed my accent once again, you notice, that is true. There's a little thing around a corner, and it's coloured blue. It's coloured blue because it is a thing that's seen at night. It sometimes leaps up in the air and gives a nasty...
Oh, I don't think that's right. I referred to a pot of paint, you know. This story I won't diminish. People say I'll die if I drink paint, but I'll have a lovely finish.
That brings the score to 28 apiece, and we reach the most exciting part of the program, which is the late arrivals. This is the point where I ask the teams to give their announcements for the arrivals at the policeman's ball.
First to arrive, and likely to regret it, Mr. and Mrs. Cuffs and their daughter Anne Cuffs. Also arriving is Mr. and Mrs. Cake and their policeman son, PC Cake. And his truncheon Judy.
Rapidly followed by Mr. and Mrs. Squad and their daughter Vice Squad. Not to mention, appropriately enough, Mr. and Mrs. Smums Ball and their daughter Policeman's Ball.
Sergeant and Mrs. Bodily hyphen Harm and their detective group. Detective Constable Son, all the way from Cyprus, Grievous Bodily. Oh.
And Mr. and Mrs. Oh, hello, hello. And their son, Al. Oh, hello, hello.
Followed closely by a close friend of theirs, Mr. W.S. This Then, who is, of course, what? Saul. This Then.
And Mr. and Mrs. Ning Hall and their daughter Eve Ning Hall.
Followed by Mr. and Mrs. De Copper and their naughty son, who is a disgrace to the force, he being Bent Copper.
Oh. From Cardiff, will you welcome Detective Superintendent and Mrs. Ulnine and their son, Die Ulnine.
Nine. Rapidly followed by Mr. and Mrs. Routine Inquiry and their son, Chester Routine Inquiry.
And also, in the legal business, Mr. and Mrs. Sitor and their son, Solly Sitor.
Mr. and Mrs. Pentonville and their worm, Wood Scrubs.
And while we're in the nick, and he can come in too, come to think of it, Mr. and Mrs. Mum Security Block. Oh. And their son, Maximum Security Block.
Welcome from Africa.
It is. Isn't it not?
Superintendent and Mrs. Olly Wally Ombuckle Un. And their daughter, Black Mariah.
I must
add... Together with her panda.
Mr. and Mrs. Writ Service, and from India, their son, the Sikh Writ Service.
Mr. and Mrs. Substances. With their daughter who gets about a bit, who's known as Cert Ann Substances.
All the way from Moscow, Inspector and Mrs. Igor Warrant and their son, Serge Warrant.
Which may lead us to Mr. and Mrs. Estrates Court and their daughter, Madge Estrates Court.
It brings us now to the point in the program where Tim and Bill have had a runaway victory on that round. They're taking them right up to 43 marks and leaving Graham and Barry trailing at 35. But our computer has come up with the results of that earlier round, and that really makes the score look entirely different. We'll see you next week.